Amen. 就先不来了。
I also would like to greet and welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord, especially all those who are here today for the first time. Please stand up. Just to raise one's hands will not be sufficient. Be welcome.
Herzlich willkommen. Ja, herzlich willkommen. Gott segne euch. Gott segne euch.
God bless you in our midst. Thank you. You can be seated. But the two brothers, them we will call to the front, that they give us a word of greeting. One brother from Portugal and one brother from Brazil. The names I have also written down somewhere. Please come now to the front. And we ask Brother Helmut Miskis that he comes also and that he translates these few words. Thank you. Yes, we are really grateful that God is calling out from all peoples, tongues and nations. Brazil, as Portuguese speaking, is probably as large as the rest of the Spanish speaking countries of South America, the largest country, and we rejoice with all our hearts that our brothers are here today. When was it, Brother Helmut Miskis? About 30 years ago, I was also in Brazil. I was preaching the word there. And recently, we were in Porto at our beloved brother's place. And I'm really glad that our brothers are here tonight. Then we have now also the Spanish language available so that God can include also these countries so that His word is being carried into all the world. Then we always have our ministering brethren in our midst. Brother Leonard from Brussels, please stand up so that all can see you. Also a man of God who carries the word of the Lord. God bless you. Then we have Brother Didier from Paris. God bless you. God bless you. Then we have other brothers here, everywhere, here from Prague, and his Brother Graf from Switzerland. Please stand up also so that the people can see you also once. Yes, we are just so grateful for it, for all our brethren who are carrying the word of the Lord. Then I may not forget Brother Diposimo. He's also here. It's just so nice that we can be gathered here in the name of the Lord. Then we have special greetings to give unto you, really, from half of the world. And it starts in the far north, and it ends somewhere on the other side of the world. Especially from the African countries, be it Nairobi, Johannesburg, Cape Town, be it Benin, wherever it might be, all the brethren, especially Brother Daniel from Cape Town, is greeting all of you, and Brother Rigobert, and who they might be. Then also Brother Wallström from Copenhagen, and this time our brothers and sisters from the island Bornholm, they were asking me to greet the whole church. Bornholm is one of the nicest islands in Denmark. It's just so wonderful that God is calling out His people. Last week, I had indeed phone calls from Oslo. One sister phoned me and she said, I have heard from London that God is doing something in our time. And I would like to know more. I would like to know of what it is all about. Just imagine, in Oslo, and then from London, and now it comes. One sister, by the name of Miriam, she phoned me from Jerusalem. And she said, are you Brother Frank? I said, yes, I'm the one who is speaking to you. And Brother Maynard, Brother Detlef Maynard, at his last visit in Jerusalem, he was leaving behind brochures and he gave a testimony. And behold, fruit came up. The brochures at first were lying somewhere in the corner and now they were read. And the sister phoned me and she said, I am of the tribe Manasseh, and now I have heard what God is doing in our time. One here, one there. Then I had at least 5 phone calls from Berlin in this week. We have there once a week a TV program of 30 minutes on a local TV station. And behold, the Lord speaks to the people. And may He use all of us to speak with those whom He still wants to call out. We know it's not the multitudes, but His people will hear His voice. And we are really having the great privilege to not hear the opinions and interpretations of men about the Word of God, but to hear God's Word in the original. And if we understood Brother Branham properly, then God sends a prophet and a prophetic message to bring us back to the Word, not to bring about new interpretations, but as we have heard in the word of introduction, that God's life might be manifested in us. And this is only manifested when God's Word as the divine seed is being laid into us. And then, as sure as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so sure we, by the same resurrection power, have received the new divine life in us. I would like to read 2 scriptures and then we will touch briefly upon the current events. Firstly, we read in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. And here we read verse 11 and 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I am watching over my word to perform it. from the Gospel of John, chapter 19, John, chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fully fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The main point, the main thought is the fulfillment of Scripture. The fulfillment of what God predicted in His Word. This is our orientation. And this divine orientation on the basis of the Word, this we need now more than ever before. If we, for instance, look into the world, you all know, I have written it in my last circular letter about the uniting of Europe. If that would not be written in the Word of God, that the last world power would rule over the whole earth, and it will rule over the whole earth, then we would not even have to mention it here at all. We have published this photo in all the circular letters. Today, the whole picture is shown in the newspaper with all the representatives who were present when on the 29th of October 2004 the European Constitution was signed, and this under the image of the Pope Innocent. He who knows languages, he knows what innocence means. Innocence, yes. I don't know whether a pope was ever guilty, but all the representatives of these 25 countries who represent 455 millions of people, and the Pope is spreading his hands above them. And now it comes. Just now, there was a conference in Brussels, and exactly 189 Christian fellowships are on the blacklist, and they are all being observed. I hope that we get this list somehow into our hands to know who is really on it. But anyway, one thing is sure, and perhaps I will bring tomorrow the article with me. Six denominations managed, and among them is the Pentecostal Church, that they, just as the two big churches, are now represented in the parliament. We see here, whoever is recognized by the state receives the protection by the state, and he who is not recognized, he then, of course, when the time comes, is given over to persecution. Here an article from the 29th of January complains of the Protestants in France. Here it says, I'm reading, the churches organized by incorporation who are existing since many decades have to fight now for building permits. The representative of the Protestant Federation was complaining. And then it says in the next passage, for the building of mosques, there's no trouble made. This is always made possible. Yes. So it's really, it will come to the point that at the end of the time of grace, the matter is getting tight for all true believers, because they do not go along with the stream of time, but are swimming against the stream, agreeing with God. Then, and we cannot bypass this here, we have to briefly touch upon the 60th year anniversary. And this we are only doing because it refers to the Jews. So this has nothing to do with politics. We all heard about it on the 27th of January of this year. We heard about the 60-year anniversary, about the liberation of the Jews who remained in the camp Auschwitz. I just brought with me here a copy of the official list. I have a copy here of the six death camps who were all on Polish ground. Not a single one in Austria, not a single one in Germany. All six death and extermination camps were on the Catholic ground of Poland. And all who know things, they know. In Poland, there were only three kinds of people. The one, more than 95-96% were Polish, and then there were the Germans and the Jews. The Jews, similar like the Germans, they were in the minority. But in the moment when the Second World War took its course, they were exposed to persecution. And I'm saying this because of a specific reason. 6 million is not a simple thing. 6 million people in just 13 years were taken out from time into eternity just because they were Jews. No other reason. And this is the big trouble. I can still remember it when Brother Goldner, our former tour guide in Israel, many know him, when he gave his report, when he as a 15-year-old boy with his friend as a Jew, he had to throw the gassed Jews into the oven. And then came the moment where he has his own sister lying before him, and he had to throw his own sister under the supervision of the SS. He had to throw her into the oven. I was staying with him in the same hotel room. We were speaking with one another. And then came the moment that Brother Goldner said to me, Brother Frank, I have hated the Germans. And then he said, but this is the moment where God is merciful to me. Let us together bow our knees and let us pray. And we were praying, and Brother Goldner was suffering from a severe stomach trouble for many years. And I said, today is your day. Today is the day of healing. And he was really healed. I think some of you still remember it. But I still want to point to a few things here. It's of course not just the information. The way of Israel is a way of reproach. I noted down some scriptures here so that I don't always have to open my Bible. Exodus 12. The Exodus from bondage. The supernatural leading out and liberation. The Passover lamb was killed. The blood was applied to the doorposts. The shoes were on. The loins were girded. God fulfilled the promise which he gave to Abraham. And he has sent his prophet Moses. And 600,000 men, not counting the women and children, were going out. But then came the time of testing. That's how we write it in the circular letter. The time of probation. In Exodus 24, from verse 3 to 8, we have the God's covenant with the church of Israel. The word was read to them. They all agreed. And then the blood was sprinkled upon the people and upon the book. And God made a covenant with Israel. Beloved, something wonderful. But woe unto him who breaks this covenant. We just heard it now from the mouth of Brother Russ. Words of men are words of men, but God's word is God's word. And God's word has nothing to say to any man, but only to the people of God. We have been obligated to the word, not the unbelievers, not the people who are bypassing God. God made a covenant with his church, with his people. Ye who were not my people shall be called the sons of the living God. But now comes a list of the verses in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 is the longest speech which the Lord God had with the people of Israel. And time and again, in the whole chapter, it is about obedience. About obedience. I read just the verses. Leviticus 26, verse 11 and 12. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. On which word does this scripture remind us? On 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Where it is about the calling out, about the separation, where God's people are being called back to serve the Lord, to walk in his ways. And therefore also for us the admonition, only if we return to God in obedience to his word, then only he turns again to us. God can do nothing whatsoever with unbelief and disobedience. He can do nothing with it, absolutely nothing. Because unbelief and disobedience brought us all this trouble from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden. Unbelief, disobedience, transgression, and separation from God, given over to die. And then we see our Lord and Redeemer, how He is obedient unto the death on the cross, to annul the disobedience of Adam for us, and to take us out from death, giving us eternal life by grace. In Leviticus 26, verse 18, "And if ye will not yet for all this obey me, then I will punish you 7 times more." This God said, after in verse 14, His people was warned, "If ye will not obey me and will break my covenant," that's what it was all about. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What good are all the sacrifices in disobedience? With this, God can do nothing whatsoever. Disobedience belongs to the fall. Obedience belongs to those, to them who were taken out of the fall and who were brought back again into fellowship with God. Then, in verse 21, in Leviticus 26, "And if ye will walk contrary unto me and will not obey me, I will bring with 7 times more plagues upon you." This one has to imagine. The living God who fulfilled His promise and who did one miracle after the other one, He had to speak a serious word to His people. Then verse 25, "And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant." God made the covenant, and the people broke the covenant. And then God says, this doesn't work like that. This doesn't work like that. Ye are the only people on earth because of which I have come to redeem you, to lead you out. I have identified myself with you. Ye are my people. I am your God. Here is my word for you. Binding like a contract. Binding like a contract. And if ye will not obey me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you. How must God have felt? But I say it once again. He can do nothing with unbelief and disobedience. It's just impossible. The one is light and the other one is darkness. The one is life and the other one is death. It's just impossible. Then, in verse 25, "And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant." Verse 27, "And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, I will chastise you." It was about obedience. No more and no less. Brothers and sisters, of what is it about today? Is God satisfied that great music is being played, that a good atmosphere is being created, that nice psalms are being sung? God has nothing of it. If we do not walk in truth and obedience to His word, We have been brought back to God to live in fellowship with Him. In verse 31 and 32, God announces, I will make your cities waste and bring your land into desolation. Just imagine, the only land on earth which God has chosen, a land which overflows of milk and honey, a glorious land, a fruitful land, and suddenly a land of desolation. Disobedience destroys. Obedience builds up and brings blessing. Verse 33, and I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you. When we read such scriptures, then I'm asking that we do not only look at Israel alone, but that we are asking ourselves the question, how is it with my and your faith? How is it with my and your obedience? How do we stand before God? Can we believe God with all our hearts and with all our souls? Persecutions, and we can read it in Luke chapter 19 from verse 44. Here the Lord indeed gave the warning for Jerusalem. If thou hadst known on this thy day, Luke 19 from verse 41 to 44, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. And the Lord closes with the words, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Brothers and sisters, if we recognize now the time of God's gracious visitation, then this is a sign of our election before the foundation of the world. Only to whom God is merciful recognizes His ways and His doings. All the others continue on their pious ways. When we then think about that up to this very day, the Jews really are waiting that Elijah comes. All who were in Israel, they know it. At every Pesach, there's an extra chair and an extra glass that when Elijah comes, that he takes a seat and that he can have the Pesach with them. The same it was at the time of Muhammad. The Jews were waiting for Elijah, for the great prophet who should come. And the misunderstanding exists up to this day. They could not differentiate what is written in Malachi 3, that God, the Lord God, would send His messenger before His face to prepare the way. And only then, at the end of the last chapter, comes the promise that God will send His prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And this day, of course, will burn as an oven. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that day comes. But this promise was, of course, not fulfilled 2,000 years ago. It was fulfilled now in our days, at the end of the time of grace. And therefore, we must time and again emphasize it. Whoever finds really grace before God, he recognizes the time, the signs of the time, he recognizes the message. And as our Lord said, When you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Now just briefly, the places about the scattering, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27, I will scatter you among all the nations. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29, if you will seek me with all your heart, then you shall find me. Deuteronomy 29, verse 24 to 26. Israel's punishment because they broke the covenant with the Lord and were serving other gods. We believe at this place in one single true God. There were never two or three, and throughout all eternity there will be only one. And this one God had the right to manifest himself as the angel of the covenant in the pillar of fire. He had the right to come to Abraham to have a meal with him. Genesis 18. He had the right in Genesis 14 as Melchizedek, as the priest, to meet Abraham, coming to him with bread and wine after he had won the victory over the heathen kings. And also here one must read up Hebrews 7, that Melchizedek was not just somebody, like many footnotes in Bibles are stating it, that he was a heathen king. My goodness! He was the king of kings and the king of righteousness. That's how it is written. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 2 to 5, the Lord God has mercy and gathers his people again from where he had scattered them. And according to Isaiah 14, verse 1, he plants them again into their own land, namely all who were left. Jeremiah 31, verse 10, he who scattered Israel is gathering them again and keeps them like a shepherd keeps his flock. Ezekiel 36, verse 24, I will take you out from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. From 143 countries, the people of Israel were gathered. And to speak together with the parable of our Lord, learn a parable of the fig tree. When the fig tree puts forth buds, when it comes to life again, then you know that the time is at hand. Romans 11, verse 7. Israel has not obtained that which it seeks for, but the election has obtained it. The election has obtained it. The same it is in our time, in our days. Romans 11, verse 25. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the time, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, until that time. And this time is fulfilled, because thus it is written in Luke 21, verse 24, that Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time, and when the time is fulfilled, then the church is being completed, perfected, taken up, and the Lord will then again turn to Israel. Until the fulfillment of Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. First, the 144,000 under the ministry of the two witnesses, as written in Revelation 7, who then will appear on Mount Zion in Revelation 14, verse 1, and then the rest, and then the rest. Not just one more thought, that God will avenge the murdering of His covenant people. And we come here to the fifth seal, about which Brother Branham spoke very, very clearly in Revelation chapter 6. But in Isaiah 26, verse 21, it says, "And the blood of the slain will come to the surface." In Jeremiah 50, verse 17, Israel is hunted down by lions like a scattered sheep. And then comes Jeremiah 50, verse 28, "God will take vengeance upon Babylon because of his temple." And Babylon was a golden cup in his hand and made the whole earth drunk. I'm not rejoicing about that it says here Babylon, but I do rejoice that it doesn't say here Germany or England or Austria, but it says Babylon. I'm glad about it. I have no trouble with it. Absolutely no trouble. And he who follows up this subject like a red thread throughout all the Holy Scripture has no trouble to see it. These gentlemen can masquerade themselves like now at the carnival. No, we don't see at the outward masquerading. We see the inside being which is hiding but which has time and again shown its true colors. Jeremiah 51, verse 13, "O city that dwelleth upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come." Not only Revelation 17, already in the Old Testament, in the prophets, the plan of salvation and also the enemy's havoc was foretold, so that everything is established on two or three witnesses, and so that we always can go back to the Word, and knowing, thus it is written, that's how God said it, and that's how it happens. Jeremiah 51, verse 13, as we just read, and then Jeremiah 51, verse 42, "O city that dwelleth upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come. The sea is come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof." Yes. Also, this is still to come. As this tsunami there caused devastation, so the sea of all peoples and nations will be in uproar, and then those will come on the scene who will take vengeance on Babylon. Revelation 18, verse 16, "Woe, woe, thou great city, that was clothed in fine linen and purple, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught." That it doesn't speak here about Paris and about London, also not about Berlin, this we all know. Here's the description, as written in the book, as written in this book. But let me say here very, very clearly, only if God really reveals it to us, then we see it. Otherwise, we walk in darkness, just like all the religious world is walking in darkness. And this was also heard, we also heard it, when in Brussels these 189 cults and sects were listed, there one was feeling free and said, "Most of them are coming from the USA. And then, of course, the representative of the USA protested strongly. Yes, but the people know. The people know. Revelation 18, verse 24. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Revelation 19, verse 2. And has avenged the blood of his servants. One could read on and on. But let us bring in here, just briefly, the word about obedience and about faith. Because that's what it's all about. Even we would know all things and would be sorry and would even go to Revelation 6 and reading there, Revelation 6, from verse 9, from the fifth seal, and those under the altar, the souls under the altar are crying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And then comes, of course, the answer. And white robes were given unto them, and were set on them, that they should rest for a little while, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be killed. The first part of the fifth seal is behind us. The second part is still ahead of us. I mentioned already the 6 million. For us, the question, how was it possible? How was this possible? God allowed it, because on one's own ways, His protection is no longer upon us and no longer with us. When God can be with us, then, as He promised, I will be with thee, and when you walk through the fire, it shall not burn thee, and when you walk through the waters, it shall not drown thee. But the point is, He must go with. He must go with. We always are hearing when the catastrophes are coming. We hear the people say, where was God? Where was God? Yeah, but where were the people when God has called? Where were the people? To say afterward, where was God? Huh. That's an easy thing. Where were we when God has called? Where were the Jews when the Lord personally came? He came to His own, and His own received Him not. This is heartbreaking. No one needs to complain afterward. And yet, God, in His mercy, because He closed their eyes and opened our eyes and our hearts, He has given them so much grace by giving them white robes. Not because of merit or of their own worthiness, but just given by grace. And then, concerning the faith, dear brothers and sisters, let us say a very clear word about it. Faith, without being connected to the deed, is useless. One example. When I, for instance, read Mark 16, verse 16, and there it is written, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Then it speaks about faith. Then the talking about faith and believing without baptism is just an empty talk. If one believes, one is baptized.
This is not my opinion. This is God's holy word. Because as sure as it's written in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized, the same it is also written in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized. What sense does it have talking about faith and believing if one does not connect the faith with the deed and with obedience? Faith is connected with obedience and obedience with the deed. There's no way around it. Maybe we still have the time to make this comparison now between Romans chapter 4, where Paul speaks about that Abraham believed God. And please believe me, we don't have the books in the New Testament of the various apostles just to have a thicker book, but the same subject is illuminated from several sides. Paul emphasized in his letter to the Romans the faith and the promise. James, in his letter, emphasized that faith without works is nothing at all, that it actually does not even exist with God. A faith without the deed, a faith which is not connected to obedience, is an imagination, is no faith at all. Believing, as the scripture says, is connected with God and his word, is anchored in the promises which God gave. And when, for instance, the Lord said to Abraham that he shall sacrifice his son, brothers and sisters, he neither staggered, nor was he weeping. He had no problem with it whatsoever. And why not? Because he was convinced that God gave him the promise, in him, in Isaac, shall all nations be blessed. And he was convinced, when I sacrifice my son, God will raise him and I will return together with him. Yes, this was the faith. And this, on this James has put much light on. In James chapter 2, James chapter 2 from verse 14, we read, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Yes. And there we come to a very important point. Faith is at the first place. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. This is the divine message of salvation. But the faith is then confirmed by obedience to prove it. As we just read about the people of Israel, if you remain disobedient, if you remain disobedient, just read it in Leviticus 26. What good was the eating of manna? What good was the pillar of fire? What good was the water coming out from the rock? Bodily, they were kept alive, and spiritually, they went astray with their hearts. And therefore, it is necessary that God gives us a new heart, a new spirit, a connection to his word. Here we have a practical example now. James 2, verse 15. If, for instance, a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, Be ye warmed and filled. What is this now? If somebody is naked and hungry, and I tell him, go in peace, eat and be warm. But something is not right. First, I must help him. First, I must take care that he gets something to eat, that he gets clothes, that he is not hungry anymore, that he is not naked any longer. But just to say, God bless you. Yeah. This doesn't work. You see how important it is that our life of faith is connected with deeds by His grace. Not just talking piously and then walking on, no, and again no, but just recognizing faith is connected with the deed. Then it continues in verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Now, what is this now? If faith is not connected with the deed, then it is dead. Then it has no life. And what is dead can be buried. Then it continues. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The putting into practice is the proof that we really believed. Everything else is theory. And I'm repeating, if it is written, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, then no man can come here and say, I believe, but baptism, to be baptized, no. But this is impossible. This doesn't work like that. Then faith is not yet alive. Then the faith has not yet received the revelation power. When faith becomes a revelation, then it is finished. Then is the first question, as with the eunuch, here is water. What does it hinder me to be baptized? Acts chapter 8. Brothers and sisters, we are returning into the time where faith is connected to obedience, and where obedience is connected to the deed, and where we become doers of the word by grace. And not just looking upon the Jews, God's people, and saying, it was their own fault. They were walking on their own ways. Yes, we went on our own ways. We have become guilty through disobedience. We must return. And therefore God has sent a prophet to bring us back to the word, so that faith is getting connected to obedience. And this we have proved by deeds. And just to bring this point to the climax, James writes in verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. Oh, wonderful, yes. And then, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble. Yes. Here we see that faith, even the faith and belief in the one true God, does not help. The Jews have always believed in one God and will throughout all eternity believe only in one God. But it did not profit them, because they did not recognize the manifestation of this one God who revealed himself for our salvation, coming in the likeness of man. But instead they rejected him. What they believed bypassed God. They saw the one God, yes, nice, but they did not see that this one God gave promises that the virgin would conceive and would bear a son, and that the son whom she would bear himself is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God can reveal himself as Father in heaven. The same God can reveal himself in the Son on earth. Emmanuel, God with us. One and the same God throughout all eternity. Now, we come quickly to verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Here James comes to the actual point of the matter. Was not Abraham justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And then the proof, verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And then verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's how the scripture was fulfilled. It was not about the theory, not only about the promise and about the announcement. It was about the fulfillment. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled. We need fulfillment of the scripture also today, as it was then with Abraham. Firstly, the promise. And then his own condition and the condition of Sarah, without hope, everything old and dead, just as the natural course of this life is. And he did not look on the things that can be seen, not on the circumstances, but he looked unto the invisible as he would see him. Brothers and sisters, this is today my and your attitude. We do not look onto the outward things, not onto that what is around us or with us, but we look unto the invisible as we would see him, because he gave promises, and the promises are yes and amen, and every promise of God merges into reality. Maybe this one more thought here, in case some sick are amongst us who want to be prayed for. Brothers and sisters, God has taken the responsibility for it. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, or it will get better with them. I have no responsibility for it whatsoever. I only have to lay hands on in obedience. The rest is up to God. When it is written, by the hands of the apostles, great signs and wonders took place, then not Peter or the apostles did something, but, as Peter said, not we, but through the power of the name of Jesus Christ, this man is standing before you. The same must repeat here, because as it is written in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not only he who believes, but he who believes and is baptized. The same it is written in the next verses, these signs shall follow them who believe. Faith must merge into the confirmation. There is no way around it, provided we believe in the full restoration. And Brother Branham was the best example. He was a living example for us. He had a restored ministry. He had to deliver a divine message. Nothing new, but this word from Genesis to Revelation 22 to reveal it. And this man of God said, if I have not preached the truth, then God does not have to confirm it. But if I have preached the truth of the word, then God is obligated toward his word to confirm it. And we have the same right at this place. Did we ever present here one single doctrine which would come from us? Do we have one single point which we would have brought from ourselves? Nothing we brought. Everything the Lord God has given us. This wonderful and holy word of our God was of course newly revealed and was put upon the lampstand. The end time message are of course not the many interpretations and explanations where people are playing their leading part. The revealed word is the word of promise for our time. The living word as written here in the Holy Scripture. Let us summarize. The people of Israel had to walk a very hard way, as no other people on earth, only because they had broken the covenant, remained in disobedience, and remained in unbelief, not having recognized the hour of God's visitation. Brothers and sisters, what will happen to all of Christianity? What will happen to all the churches and fellowships? What will happen to all of them after the rapture, who bypassed the word of the hour, who bypassed the divine message, who did not place themselves unto the sight of God? Just the contrary. Who perhaps think by themselves or say it even aloud, oh, these people there, they are following a man. Even it would be like this, then at least we would follow a man who could say like Paul, follow me just as I follow Christ. Because he was an example. And I would rather follow such a man than some bishop or some cardinal or somebody. You know how I mean it. We do not follow any man. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. For us, only one died. And he who died for us once, that we live for him. May the Lord God show us what kind of consequences disobedience and unbelief has. May the Lord show us what kind of future we have through faith and obedience, placing ourselves onto the side of God, so that he can lead us unto perfection until we come from believing unto seeing. The way of the church was similar. We all know. First, there was persecution of Christians, then persecution of Jews, and then again persecution of Christians. All of them were God's children. The divine seed had never found recognition on this earth. And so we thank the Lord God that we are not seeking after any recognition here on earth. We don't need any representative in parliament. We need our Lord and Redeemer who gave his blood and life for us. And he said, I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. Brothers and sisters, we should really thank God because He brought us up to date in every area of developments in this time, into which we cannot go always into details. One has to write about it. One has to set it forth to show God's way with Israel and with the church and in general. And even then, if we would set forth everything very clearly, it still needs revelation, because the natural man does not receive the things which come from the Spirit of God, except the Lord is merciful to us. And thereby we recognize, without getting fanatic, but we are getting thankful, telling him what he has done for us. Among billions of people, and then among millions in all of Europe, just a very little percentage who in fact recognizes what God is doing right now. And this condition is worldwide. May the ever faithful God make us thankful. And please don't forget, the Lord time and again said, and if you will not yet obey me, and again, if you will not hearken unto me, God wants to make obedient children out of us. And therefore Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 and Romans 15 that he should work obedience of faith among the nations through the preaching of the word. Brothers and sisters, so clear and true as God has revealed his word now in our time, was it never on earth. And God gives us the access, the grace, and we are thankful for it. To him, the living God, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to him be the praise and the honor, because he has become our Father, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And to him we bring our thanks in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Today, we should say thank you to God, really saying thanks. And as I said before, if there is need of prayer for the sick, just believe. Believe with all your heart and say, Beloved Lord, that's how it is written, that's how you have said it, that's how I believe it. And in that moment, God cannot do otherwise but to confirm his word as being true. And listen, nothing is impossible with our God. By this, he is glorified the most, when the impossible takes place and when he can confirm his word in us. To him, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and glory and adoration, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us stand up and let us sing together, Only Believe, Only Believe.
Dem, der da glaubt.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, nur glaube nur, glaube.
We are bowing our heads and are remaining in silent prayer, are seeking the connection and fellowship with God, because that's how He wanted it. That's how He said it. I will dwell among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, one more word in reference to salvation and healing and deliverance. Everything happens there where the word is being preached, where the word is being believed. There God confirms His word. For all who need healing, let the following be said here. With some it was enough that the Lord spoke the word, and it happened. On others He laid hands on, and they were healed. And others came for the second time, like the men who saw the men like trees, and after the second prayer He saw the people normally as they were. Then there's the scripture, God sent His word and made them well. The needs are different. The way God deals with the individual can be different, but the healing is always the same. Doesn't matter how it takes place. In James 5 it says that we shall anoint with oil and pray for the sick. In Mark 16 it says only about the laying on of hands. Whichever way it is being done, in the name of the Lord, God stands to His word. Please, don't have your own ideas how it shall take place. Just believe that it has happened already, and it will be granted to you. Because all the promises of God are yea and amen. When Jesus Christ, our Lord, cried out on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. There and then, our redemption took place. Salvation, healing and grace. And as sure as He was smitten and wounded, so sure we were healed by His stripes. That's how it is written. That's how we believe it. And that's how it shall take place today in our midst. Let us examine ourselves, whether we are walking on the ways of God. First, we will pray together, asking the Lord to forgive us everything. All our own ways, all our own thoughts, everything what was not right, just to bring it to the Lord, to bring it under the blood, so that we have free access through the blood to the throne of grace, and so that God can confirm His word as true in us. Let us first pray together. Dear Lord, we are coming before Your holy presence. We are bowing before You in dust and in ashes. Also, we have been disobedient. Also, we were walking on our own ways. Dear Lord, You ever faithful God, forgive us all. Be merciful to all of us and help us. May on this day Your grace, Your word be manifested in our midst. And may the faith lead us over to the deed. May it happen. As You said, Lord, the works which I did, ye will do also. Let it happen today, that the works of Jesus Christ are made manifest. Salvation,
healing, deliverance, and blessings of the Almighty God. Dear Lord, we believe and we are obedient and we thank Thee for it. We thank You for the access, for the grace, for everything. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, bless young and old, save, heal, deliver, and confirm Thou Thy wonderful word.
Hallelujah. 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 Lasst uns noch gemeinsam.
Let us also pray for our dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Chile. With them we are joined in a very special way. We are not only greeting them, we bless them in the name of the Lord, from the house of the Lord. And we wish them God's blessing. Let us once again pray that God grants a full victory in the whole fellowship, and so that the Lord comes to His right. Dear Savior, we thank Thee together for Your grace and for Your faithfulness. We thank Thee that You are calling the last ones out, also in Chile. And we pray You, bless our brothers and sisters in a special way and reveal Thyself to them. Show them the way on which they shall walk. And we thank Thee for the power of Your blood, of Your word, and of Your spirit. We pray for all of South America. Bless Brazil. Bless Brazil in a special way. Bless Bolivia. Bless Peru. Bless all of Central America. Bless. Bless, ever faithful God. And build Thou Thy church. And perfect her. Bless our brethren who are ministering with the word. And bless us all, near and far.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise und Ehre. Ruhm und
praise, honor and glory and adoration be unto You.
Hallelujah. 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 Ich lieb ihn. Ich lieb ihn.
I love Him.
Bald ja bald, oh wie schön, werden wir auf Gott Jubel eingehen. Bald ja bald, oh wie schön, werden wir auf Gott Jubel eingehen.
Und noch dies ist der Tag.
Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht, den der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. Lasset uns froh und dankbar sein. Lasset das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht.
Amen.
Amen.
Ihr mögt es.